morning, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 2 Chronicles 7:14. Although probably most of you already know that verse. You know that I've referred and preached from that verse many times. And I want to talk about the magical formula of revival. Magical formula of revival. That's something very close to my heart, revival. Something that we desire to see, that we want to see happen. Not just our church, but we want to see it in this whole region, this province, and also this nation. And that's something that's been on my heart ever since I came west. And I'm still believing for that fulfillment, to see that in the land of the living. Not when I'm dead, but when I'm still alive to enjoy it. So 2 Chronicles 7:14, just one verse today, but we'll be referring to a lot of verses of scripture as we go through this. But we'll start with this one. It says, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and restore their land. Well, this morning I want to talk about this subject of revival. And anyone who's been here for a while knows that that's one of the things I like to talk about. I like to read about. Most of the books I've read in the last probably 2 years have just mainly been on revival, because it's something I hunger for, something that I desire, something that I want to see. And I know when I'm coming to partnership with God, because God desires for all of us to experience revival, to be revived in our hearts and in our lives. And I'm still believing that for our church, our nation, and that we're going to be seeing that take place. And I don't plan on giving up on that desire. I'm going to keep hanging on to that desire until I see it fulfilled. Now, when you look at that word revival, it's defined as an act of bringing something back to life after a period of decline. It implies a renewed focus or comeback, a reawakening of faith and passion for God. And if you look at our nation, even right now, Christian faith isn't exactly thriving in Canada right now. But thankfully, there are hot spots. There are faithful people who are keeping Christianity alive and working hard to see it grow again. And we want to see that here at this church at Bethel. We desire to see people come back to faith in their lives, that there'd be a reawakening that would take place in their faith as they come back to Christ. And that's something that we want to see. That's a heart cry that our church is believing for. So a new seriousness where people not just believe in Jesus, but they serve him, they're faithful to him, and they're growing in that relationship with him. And we see that that's God's desire as well, that people would wake up to their need of God, and that people would change their lives and turn to Jesus in repentance, in faith, in passion, in worship, evangelism, and serving the Lord. And that's really a message you will find from the beginning of the Bible right through to the end of the Bible. And it's a message that still rings true very much even today. So God desires everyone to be saved, and to see people come to that realization that we need God in our lives. We all need God in our lives. And as we would come to God, that we would repent of our sins, that we would turn to him to be renewed in our faith and our passion for him. And really, that's a desire for all people, all churches, all regions, all nations. That's what God desires of all of us. And God wants to see people revived in their faith. And there really is a clear formula in Scripture that sometimes, you know, it's ignored. Or sometimes we look for other ways, or we look for the quick response for revival, when really it comes down to just a couple of important things. And, you know, God wants to see people revived in their faith. And there really is, you know, an important formula for that. I know sometimes, you know, well, we kind of want the more magical ones, and that's not to put them down, but sometimes we look elsewhere to be revived when there's certain things the Bible is already telling us that we need to do. And so sometimes, you know, we'll go to conferences, which are good, and other churches, other pastors, other evangelists, camp meetings, special services, services with lots of lively music, places with lots of hype, and so forth. And those things can help us for sure. But if you really want to see revival, it starts with you. It starts with you. It's not out there. It's right here. It starts with you. It's an inward work and a commitment to make the changes that God is speaking to us about in our own lives. So revival starts when we look at our own spiritual condition and what the Bible is saying is necessary for revival. Now, we can do all those other things, and we often associate those things with revival, but, you know, we can do all those things and then miss revival because we didn't allow revival to touch the inside of our hearts and of our lives. And I don't know about you, I want the real thing. There's so much fake out there today. It frustrates me, to be honest with you. I want real revival. I want to see lives that are changed, lives that are transformed, lives that are saved, lives that are healed, lives that are delivered, and where people are getting passionate about the God that they serve. And so I want to share with you about revival today and really look at what's required in Scripture for revival to take place. Because there really isn't a magical formula out there. We sometimes think that there is. But rather, there's a direct and consistent message throughout the whole Bible that I want to share with you here this morning as we talk about that formula for revival. Now, the formula for revival, as I said, it's consistent throughout Scripture. And as we look at the Old Testament, we find quite clear, even in the Old Testament, about how do we experience revival? How do we position ourselves that we might be revived in our spirits, in our hearts, in our lives, in our faith? And we already read one of those passages, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Read it again, just that it might get in our hearts. It says, "Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and restore their land." And that verse really, in a nutshell, pretty much describes what we need if we really want to experience a revival in our hearts and our lives, and also a revival in our world. We need to come to that place where we humble ourselves, that place where, you know, we really put an effort into our prayers, where we seek the Lord, and where we turn from the ways that God is not pleased with in our lives. And, you know, that's a very clear message about how we can be revived. So if we want revival, we're going to have to be honest with ourselves. We're going to really have to look at ourselves and say, am I really at that place where I can say I'm in a revival mode? Or are we not in that place of revival mode? So it's something that we got to take, do a spiritual inventory out of our own lives and see about how ready we are for a revival. That will involve turning to the Lord, actually seeking Him through all the ways that we can. Like reading the Bible, getting into the Word of God, by praying to God, by studying the Bible, going to a church or going to a prayer meeting, a Christian fellowship, worship, camp meetings, and so forth. It involves that we would really take an effort and put an effort in seeking His face. And turning to Him, seeking Him, you know, we're not going to have no longer do those casual prayer things. But rather, it's going to be something that's very consistent in our life, where we really make sure that we take time to pray and to seek the Lord. And another part here that it talks about is about our actions or our lack of actions and turning from sinful ways. Because revival preparation is making changes in your life and taking sin seriously. So if the Lord has been speaking to you in a certain area of your life and you keep holding back and not responding to that. You're doing everything else, but there's a few things that, no, I'm not going to give that up. I'm not going to give that up. That's what will keep you from revival, because we need to humble ourselves and say, Lord, I'm willing to give anything and everything that I might serve you to my best. You know, it's about dealing with our excuses. We all have excuses. We're all guilty of that. Making a new commitment to deal with the things that may be hindering us in our walk with God. You can't stay in a compromised life and expect God is going to revive you. That just doesn't work. And so we need to deal with those things. You know, revival takes work, takes humility, commitment, sacrifice, resolve, being open to whatever God would ask of us. Now, another passage in the Old Testament that speaks of a form of revival comes from the book of Hosea. Hosea 10:12. That's getting close to the end of the Old Testament. It says, "Plant the good seeds of righteousness, and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you." I kind of like this verse here because it talks about he's going to shower us with righteousness. I know we've been experiencing some mighty, mighty showers and rains in the natural. And I've always heard people talk about that. He says, you know, sometimes you need to pay attention to what's happening in the natural, because maybe, not saying that always, but maybe God's trying to get a message out that he's wanting to pour out his spirit upon the land and fill us so much. But right now, our ground is saturated. Up at Moose Lake, it was all kinds of water, and it's in the sand. I'm thinking, how can there be water when it's all sand? But yet that water's coming up above the sand, that water table. And I was saying, well, Lord, we could use that from you, an outpouring, a rain that comes from heaven to touch our hearts and to fill us to overflowing. I think that would be a great thing. But if we want those kinds of showers of revival, then we need to do that which is right and that which would promote a culture of love, one towards another. There needs to be a togetherness, a unity, a working together. You know, and God brings us in churches and places like this, and we need to work together for what God is wanting to do in our land, in our region, in our towns, wherever we might be from. But, you know, we need to work together. We need to love on one another, care about one another. That's very important. And then it goes on to talk about priorities, some changes that we need to make in our lives. It goes on to say it encourages us to plow up the fallow ground in our lives, which for around here, that should be common for all of us, an agricultural term referring to land that has been left unseeded and unused. And when left alone, it will soon become hard, overgrown with weeds, and unfruitful. And right now, there's a lot of that kind of land right now that's taking place. They can't get on those fields. And so there's a lot of fields, there's no seed went into those fields. There's going to be no fruit from those fields. And so what farmers would do, they plow up this ground and they break up the hardened ground to make it soft again so it's going to be receptive to planting new seeds. And we need to do the same. We need to plow up the ground that has been dormant in our own lives. Places where we haven't been growing, places where we haven't been productive in our lives, places where we've allowed some weeds to come in, maybe some hardness, maybe an offense, maybe other some sin that may have come in our lives, and the result is we're unproductive. We're not doing anything for God. And so that's why the Bible says, time to plow up the ground. Time to get in there and plow it up again. Get a new season in your life. And so plowing up fallow ground in areas where we see no growth is really a call to action, involving being willing to deal with the things in our own lives that we have been tolerating or that we've been ignoring for some time. And again, self-examination is always good for us. See if there be any wicked way in me, any sinful way in me, and that we might be open for God to reveal maybe some hard ground. Because sometimes we protect ourselves, we get hurt, some things happen, sometimes even in church, and we kind of put up a wall there, or we kind of get hard, and God's trying to move in our hearts and our lives, but we kind of got that wall there that's keeping God, you know, at a distance, because we don't want him to get too close to, you know, minister to that area that has become hard in our lives. But it is time to put the plow and plow up that hard ground so that we can put the seeds of revival in there once again. So that's something that's very needed. One more passage in the Old Testament in regard to a formula for revival. I don't think you can bypass the passages of Scripture by the psalmist David. King David wrote many psalms. And in those psalms, you'll see the mistakes he made, the sins that he did. But you'll also see as he turned his heart back to God, what was needed in turning his heart back to God. Psalm 51 is probably one of the greatest prayers that I continue to pray this prayer and use this prayer. And it says these words, Psalm 51 verse 9 says, "Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you." That is an awesome prayer for revival in our world, but also inside of us. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Lord, there's some things that are in my head, some things that are going around in my thoughts, and sometimes, you know, they get a little out of control. Lord, I'm asking you to create in me a clean heart. I want to have a right heart before the Lord. And that's so very, very important, because we all can sometimes just get caught up with things of life or caught up with what's happening around us, and we get frustrated and all those kinds of things, and sometimes I get that way too. And so it's always good to come back here and just say, "Oh, Lord, I just need a cleansing. I just need something that's fresh and good for me. Create in me a clean heart, Lord. I don't want any of this garbage that I'm picking up from this world. Lord, I just ask you to cleanse me afresh and anew. And restore the joy of salvation. Restore the joy of serving you. It should be a joy to serve the Lord. It should be a joy to actually come to church. Really, it should. It should be a joy to enter in and worship the Lord. And as your worship team leads you in worship, they do a very good job, but we have a job too. We're to enter in. We're to join in, and we're to worship the Lord together. And so those are just a few verses of Scripture just out of the Old Testament. And they record prayers of repentance. They record things that we need to take our sins seriously. They talk about confession of sin, sorrow for sin, seeking a clean heart, commitment to loyalty, obedience. Those are all things that are important for us to do. And as you read down Psalm 51:7, it concludes with this: "As the sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit, you will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God." We need to repent before the Lord. When we're not doing what God has called us to do, then we need to gather ourselves together and say, "God, I'm sorry. God, I need to have a clean heart. I know I'm not doing what you've called me to do. I'm not living the way that I should be living to do. And create me a clean heart, Lord. Restore some joy here. Restore that fervency once again in my life." And that's something we pray for here in this church. We want to see people's faith restored. We want to see people's faith have a fervency and a desire to serve the Lord all the days of their life. And so that's kind of what you see as you look to the Old Testament. I know we could spend probably years looking at the Old Testament in regards to this, but we're just picking a few highlights out of the Old Testament. And now I'd like to move to the New Testament, where again you find that it's consistent with the Old Testament. The message stays the same, and God is still speaking to us about repentance and speaking to us about turning to Him. And that's it's a cry of God that you will find as you read the whole book, the whole of Scriptures. Acts 3, we'll go there first. It says, verse 19, "Now repent of your sins and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and He will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah." Again, it makes it really clear, if you want any kind of a revival to take place, any kind of refreshing to take place in regards to your faith, then there needs to be a response from us. And a response where we recognize our shortcomings, where we recognize areas where maybe we have sinned, and where we repent of those things. Where we not just repent, but we turn away from them and we turn towards God. It's supposed to be not a 360-degree turn. A lot of people do that. They come to faith, but they go right back to where they came from. No, you're to come to faith, and then you go in a completely opposite direction, giving God your full attention, focus, and desire. But note, as you read that portion of Scripture here, in Acts, it says, points out this area of turning to God, repenting of sins, and then it uses that word then. Then times of refreshment will come from the Lord. See, we miss out of a lot of refreshment from God because we don't bother to take care of those things that he's telling us to take care about. You know, we keep doing the things, even though we know they're wrong, even though we know God's been speaking to us about these things, we keep doing them, ignoring them, and God says, you're not going to get that refreshment until you start dealing with those things that I've spoken to you about. And you know, sometimes we can pursue every other area where we might experience revival, but still fail to experience it because we're failing to deal with those simple things that God is calling us to deal with. You know, getting back, let's plow up the fallow ground. You know, maybe it's gotten hard. Maybe maybe there's some hardness in your heart right now, and it's keeping you from experiencing that refreshing from the God. So revival can't escape us when we don't want to deal with our stuff. And we all have stuff, every one of us. I have stuff, you have stuff. And there will be certain things that the Holy Spirit will put his finger on. And it may not be wrong in the natural or even wrong according to the Word of God. But if God tells you and speaks to you about doing something, then we need to do it, whether it's wrong or not. That if God says, no, I want you to do this, we need to respond and do it. And we need to show that, God, I'm going to be obedient to what you're calling me to do. So it's a message that's repeated often through Scripture, to repent of our sins, to turn to God. As a matter of fact, it's in there so much that if you do a study on that, it's actually a crazy study because it really is in there throughout the pages of the Bible. And as you come to the New Testament, we're introduced to that right away. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. John the Baptist comes on the scene. What's his message? Well, we see that in verse 1 and 2. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. His message was, repent of your sins, turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So he's picking up what was said in the Old Testament and declaring it in the New Testament, that there's something we all need to do. We all need to come to that place where we repent of sins and that we turn and seek the Lord. Matthew 4, Jesus begins to preach, the Bible says. And from then on, Jesus began to preach, verse 17 of Matthew 4, repent of your sins, turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And then as you go on reading through the New Testament, you'll find that is a message that is continually being preached. You come into the book of Acts and the introduction of the early church, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and you'll see that what does Peter do? He speaks about the very same thing, repenting of your sins, turning to God. Then in this great message from this passage of Scripture we read in Acts chapter 3, 19 to 20, as we talked about that we want seasons or refreshments to come from God, that we need to seek the Lord turning from sin and from our own ways to bring our lives under his ways. And again, keep going through the New Testament, you come to the book of Revelations, the last book. What do we hear in the last book? And it's rather interesting because in the last book, there's a portion at the start of Revelation that speaks to the church. It's speaking to Christians. It's not speaking to the world. It's speaking to Christians. And listen to what it says. Revelation 3, 1 to 3. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Sardis. This is the message from the one who has the sevenfold Spirit of God and the seven stars. I know all the things you do and that you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Wake up, strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead. I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. Go back to what you heard and believed at first. Hold to it firmly, repent, turn to me again. If you don't wake up, I will come to you suddenly as unexpected as a thief. Now that's a really strong message. And you know what, when you read through the Bible, often the messages to the people of God, they're very strong. Why are they so strong? Well, it's because the people of God should know better. We really should. And lots of times we kind of throw that and we kind of say, oh, that's to the world. No, it's to us. Those tough messages in the Bible are often addressed right to us because we should know better being Christians and followers of God. So if we want a refreshing from God, a renewal of faith, a revival will touch us in our world, then we really need to deal with those things in our lives that God is pointing out to us, that God's speaking to us about, that we see in the Word of God that we're not lining up with what the Word of God, that maybe there's some sin that we're harboring in our hearts. Maybe there's something that's that has hardened our heart because of experiences, even in church, and we want to ignore them. We don't want to deal with them. Well, we need to come back to the Lord and say, God, you know what? Come and heal my broken heart. Lord, come and deal with all those stones and those rocks that maybe are in my life that, you know, I'm producing some fruit, but I could produce a whole lot more if I dealt with some of these other things. And as we welcome the Lord to do that, we will do greater things. And as we seek the Lord, that really needs to be something that we do on a daily basis, not once in a while. Sometimes we kind of wait. Look at the Lord's Prayer. What does it tell us to do? Matthew 6:12. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And, really it's talking about a daily practice that we look at ourselves, we examine ourselves, and we ask the Lord, Lord, maybe there's some people I need to forgive today. Lord, maybe there's some things that I've done wrong. Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me. First and foremost, forgive me for my sin, my transgressions, things that I have done. And again, that's so very important for us. And we could mention all kinds of scripture throughout the New Testament that speaks about this need to repent of sins and turn to God. And that really is the formula to revival, the true formula to revival. There's a lot of other things we think equals revival when the Bible says, no, this is what you really need if you want revival in your life or if you want revival in your land, is that we turn from our sins and turn to God, and that's when revival will come. And so thirdly, let's look at that actual formula, which is no magic at all, by the way, but simply turning to God, repenting of our sins. And we'll look a little bit deeper into those two areas. And so turning to God refers to a deliberate, wholehearted shift of one's mind, heart, and action. It involves a belief in God, but also a commitment to God. It involves obedience to God. It involves dealing with areas of hardness, deals with choosing to make God your Lord, your Savior, and your King. Sometimes people ask us, is Jesus Lord of your life? Well, I've welcomed him in my life, but has he become your Lord? Sometimes we miss that part of salvation. Has Jesus become your Lord? Or is he just someone that you're hoping is going to deliver you from hell and bring you to heaven? Is he your Lord? Make Jesus your Lord. So turning to God as Christians, we welcome Jesus Christ in our life, the very Son of God that was sent by the Father to save us from our sins. And we choose to make him our King and our Lord. And one day, and by the looks of things happening in our world, Jesus could come back at any time. He comes back as a reigning King. We need to be ready to meet our King. So it's more than just an acknowledgement, but there needs to be a desire to follow Christ, to seek him in all of our ways, turning from our own sinful or selfish ways or different practices that we've been doing, that we might honor God with all of our lives. It means submitting ourselves to God's will in our lives over our own will, choosing his ways over our ways, desiring to be obedient to his word, the Bible, desiring to be obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit as he speaks to us. And so it's an act of surrendering our lives to God, choosing daily to follow God, building a healthy relationship. Again, not a one-time event, but a daily event, choosing God. So in turning to God, God becomes the priority of our lives, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so that's basically what's involved when we turn to God. If we're going to turn to him, those are the things that we need to be doing to take our relationship seriously. And then secondly, the second part that is needed in revival is that word repentance that we keep hearing. And again, this is something that's very important for us as well. I know you can find all kinds of preachers out there today that are saying that, You don't need to worry about that. You don't need to repent of your sins. It's okay. And, that frustrates me, hearing all those things. And I got to be careful that I don't react too badly to all of that. But sometimes that just gets under your skin as a minister, seeing those things where people are going down those roads. We need repentance. How do I know that? The Bible says so. And it's not just a few verses. It's right from Genesis right through to Revelations. You're going to continue to find that there's a message that we all need to repent of our sins. And again, so very important to read the whole Word of God. So to repent means more than just saying you're sorry. Sorry's good, but it doesn't do too well. If you're a police officer here and you pull somebody over for speeding, I have a very bright yellow car, kind of grabs some people's attention right now. If I got pulled over for speeding, I'd be very sorrowful. But I'd be more sorry about being caught than actually speeding, because I'll probably go speed again. And so that's called worldly sorrow. You're only sorrow because you got caught. And sometimes that's the way we treat our faith, that we continue on doing things we shouldn't be doing. And, oh, yeah, sorry again, God. Yeah, sorry again. And you're only sorry because you got caught. You're not sorry that you want to change. You need to change your behavior. So true repentance begins with recognizing you have done wrong and that you're not living according to God's word. And to that, there should be a godly sorrow, a godly remorse, that we would not want to do those things again. Otherwise, it's just worldly sorrow, temporary. We're not to have temporary sorrow over our sins. We need to have a sorrow that says, I'm not doing that again. So true repentance involves a decision to change your ways, to change your behavior, to turn your life around in different directions from what you were doing. You know, it means that you're now going in the opposite direction of what you were traveling. You were going down this road, now you've turned around to go this road. As I said before, so often people accept Christ and they turn around and they keep turning around and they go right back in the same path they were going in. It's a 180 degree turn, not a 360. You go in the opposite direction. So it means change, repentance. It means new direction, new purpose, new goals. A genuine desire to turn from sin, to regret sin, to make a constant shift in character, devoting yourself to God's ways. And those are qualities we need for revival. All the other ways of seeking revival, they can be good, they can be helpful. But if we ignore the essence of revival, from turning to God and repenting of our sins, then we could miss revival altogether. So those two qualities are a must. Isaiah 57:15 says, the high and lofty one who lives in eternity, the Holy One, says this, I live in a high and holy place where those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I will restore the crushed spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. It's everywhere. Throughout the scriptures, wherever you look, those two qualities. The God of eternity, the God of heaven, is looking for people who will turn from their wicked ways and turn to him and seek him and repent of their sins. So as we close here this morning, technically there's not a magical formula out there. It's just that we need to respond to what God's saying to us right now. That we would trust him, that we would turn to him, that we'll deal with our shortcomings, we'll deal with our stuff, and get back on that right road. And those are two areas that are crucial for revival throughout the whole Bible. A desire to change and a desire to repent of our sins. And those are things that are right. And I pray that you're not giving up for a revival. I know we preach about it quite a bit here. I do. And maybe you're tired of waiting for that revival to come. That's one of the things that we need to realize as Christians. God's not on our timetable. We need to be on his. And he doesn't move when, I think he has to move right now. He might be planning to move a little bit later. But I want to be ready when he's ready to move. I want to experience and see a revival with my own eyes. I don't want to see it when I'm in heaven and looking down and seeing, oh, now here, there's the revival that I've been longing for. No, I want to see it in the land of the living. And I think I'm amongst people that say, me too. I want to experience a revival in the land of the living. And so as we pray for that, as we prepare for that, I close with one last scripture. Kind of referred to it a few times. I just didn't actually say the scripture. Psalm 139, 23, 24. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the everlasting path of everlasting life.